Shmuel Beis, Perachov Dalad, Pasuk Chaf. So now we are at the very last episode in all of Sefer Shmuel, and one which will reverberate through the generations yet to come, is that David is now putting up a Mizbeach on the threshing floor of a man named Arabno HaYavusi. Vayashkef Arabno, Vayar Es HaMelech Ves Avodov Ovrim Olav. So Arabno looked out, presumably from his home, and he saw the king and his servants coming in his direction, passing towards him. And so Arabno went out and prostrated himself flat on the ground with his face on the ground before the king. So Rashi says he was afraid of the Malach, as it's brought down in Divrei Hayamim, that he sensed, even if perhaps he couldn't see it clearly, that there was a destructive force loose in the world. And so now he sees the king coming, he knows it's not just a casual visit. Chafala vayim Arabno, madua bo Adoni Amelech el Abdo. So Arabno says, why has my master the king come to his servant? Vayomer David, lichnos me'imecha es hagoren. David explained to him, to purchase the threshing floor from you, but not just for the sake of getting a piece of property, livnos mizbeach la Hashem, in order to build an altar to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, v'seyotzar ha-magefo me'al ha'om, so that the plague upon the people will stop. Now, what this implies then, is that the pestilence was still loose, and the plague was still happening. So, although we said HaKadosh Baruch Hu told the Malach to hold his hand back, it seems as if the death was still occurring. And again, unfortunately, we know what that means. Living as we do at a time when the papers and the news are full of articles about where the death toll is and the pluses and minuses of the death rate, once somebody gets sick, there's the incubation period and then it doesn't show itself for a couple of weeks. So the pestilence is still loose, even if new cases are going to stop. But the communication of the disease from person to person hasn't necessarily stopped. Unfortunately, the more medical science has advanced in the thousands of years since the Nach, unfortunately, the better we understand this. In modern medical terms, this makes perfect sense. The Nach truly is eternal. As Rabbi Beryl Wein likes to say, as I've quoted him often, Nach is not a history book, it's current events. And again, if I had been learning this with you 13 months ago, I would be talking about it in theory only. But this is not in theory, this is in reality. And so David is explaining to Arabno what this is all about and how he wants to buy the threshing floor. Chav Beis Vayomer Arabno El David, Yikach V'ya'al Adoni HaMelech, Hatov be'enov. Let my master the king take and offer up what is good in his eyes. Immediately complying with the request that David is articulating. He doesn't even hesitate. Remember that he was hiding in fear, wearing his mask, not going out. He was in lockdown. He only came out because he saw the king coming. And now he says, do what you see fit to do. Re'e habakar la'ola, v'hamorgim uchle habakar la'etzim. See, there are oxen for the ola, presuming that the carbon that David is going to offer is going to be an ola that is completely la'Hashem and nothing for people. And it is going to be offered as a complete burnt offering. And take the threshing instruments, the morgim, Rashi says, kli eitz molei charitzin b'chaved hu. It's a heavy threshing tool, like a scythe, but it's made of wood. And the tools of the oxen, the chle habakar, the reins, the bit, the whip to keep it moving. All of the accessories that the cattle wear while they're pulling the plow. Use all of that for fuel. Use all of that for Eitzim. So you take the choicest animal from all the oxen. Take whatever wood you might need from my equipment. That is tremendous offering on the part of Aradna, completely selfless, for the sake of the good of the public. Take what is good in your eyes. And then when he gives details, so right away he said, Atov be'einecha, or be'einav, let the king take what's good in his eyes. He meant take whatever you want. But he gave details just in case David might not understand the extent of his offer. Take the oxen, take the threshing instruments, take the tools. And in the next pasuk, we're going to see Hakol, everything he gave to David. He was born non-Jewish. Some say that he was going to become a ger. Some say he already was a ger. But he understood, maybe you also don't want my ox because I'm not Jewish. So take my ox and exchange it for an ox owned by a Jew, if that's part of the issue of what you need for your ola. And it's going to be a carbon seabor. It's going to be on behalf of everybody. So please, do whatever you see fit. And so Aradna is a truly open-handed and generous person. And the king, nevertheless, is going to do a deal that's appropriate. And in what I imagine, with only 2-3 psukim left, is going to be our last shiur on Sefer Shmuel. We're going to see that the story of Aradna's negotiations with David, or David's negotiations with Aradna, have tremendous parallels back in Sefer Bereishis to when Avraham Avinu acquired Maras HaMachpelah. So similar stories of very holy places of what's going to happen, but also differences based on the fact that David is a Melech Yisrael. He's not a foreigner coming as Avraham was to Bnei Ches, as a sojourner asking for favorable treatment. But Aradna is talking to a king of the Jewish people, and so there are some very careful differences, as we'll see.